Look, I think there is some cause for concern. I mean, there's nothing terribly surprising in what the IMF came out with last night. They really have just sort of acknowledged all the sort of downside risks that financial markets have been worried about for some time now. To the extent that they're worried about stuff that hasn't happened yet, and the most obvious thing there is Brexit, yeah, that's true. But also, we have already seen trade tensions influencing real economic activity now for some time. So I suppose, yes, they are worried about those tensions getting worse or at the very least not being resolved. But we've had to worry about trade for quite a while now.
Now, you mentioned Brexit, but I raised my eyebrow. I think I saw that the IMF outlook for the UK is actually showing a slight increase in growth, notwithstanding the Brexit outlook.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of wishful thinking on their part, to be honest with you. I think it's very, very difficult to see, at least at this point, how a reasonable Brexit deal can be achieved without at least some significant impact on economic activity, at the very least in the short term. It just doesn't seem, it's very, very hard to be confident about a deal being reached anytime soon.
Now, you mentioned China. We saw yesterday those figures from China, which show that their economy is pretty much slowing down. But the bigger than expected slowdown that forecast by the IMF, is that weighing on the markets, do you think?
I think it's certainly a major source of uncertainty. Again, it's nothing terribly surprising. The key thing, I think, with China, though, to remember is that the Chinese do have levers that they can pull that the rest of the world really doesn't have. And I think one thing we've seen for some years now is that even though the Chinese authorities have certainly allowed the economy to slow down in a very gradual way, they've also been very willing to actually put economic policy to work to sort of, to ease the burden, to cushion the blow, if you like. And there's no reason to expect that won't continue. They certainly have shown a willingness to do that.
Now, your organisation, Sun Super, has put out this new survey, the Job Index. It's revealed that the financial and insurance service was the weakest performing sector, dropping nearly 10% year on year. What was behind that?
Look, I think the most obvious candidate for that is the Royal Commission and the uncertainty that's created in the sector. It's very, very hard to see exactly how this is going to pan out. We don't really know, how the banking industry is going to respond to the findings of the Commission. But I think one of the interesting things is that we have seen at least some signs of that bottoming out. In the December quarter numbers, we at least saw signs that the downturn in job vacancies in the banking industry is certainly not getting any worse. You're seeing some signs of stability there. But given that we don't really know what the full aftermath of the Royal Commission is going to be, it's probably too early to say that the worst is entirely over.
So what's the outcome of that, that people seeking a job in the finance sector will be disappointed in the coming year, perhaps?
Yeah, I think that's true. And you could actually make the case that, we've had at least for much of the last 20 or 30 years, very, very strong growth in the finance sector, very, very strong gains in household debt. And so if you've been in the business of providing credit to the economy, well, your business has been doing really, really well. But I think going forward, we're actually seeing much, much slower growth in credit. And that translates into sort of much slower growth in activity in banking. And that's got to impact the overall demand for jobs in the sector anyway, regardless of the Royal Commission.
Now, when we talk about jobs, as you would know, we've always had this seemingly contradictory thing where full-time and part-time jobs seem at odds with the economy and how it's travelling. Your survey finds full-time work rose 6.5% and part-time rose 20%. Now, can you explain these figures? Because as I see it, your survey also says that temporary and contract demand has slipped about 0.5%.
Well, if anything, what we've seen is a bit of a resurgence in permanent jobs. So that, yes, the what we call the contingent job index, so this is, contract and temporary work, that has slipped a little bit over the year, but a lot of the momentum we've seen is really in permanent jobs, and this has got to be a good thing. And in terms of industries, well, you've correctly highlighted the weakness in banking. If you look at other services, things like healthcare, social services, community and personal services, you've seen amazing growth in job vacancies there. Healthcare, for example, vacancies up by 34%, which is really quite staggering.
The areas that you looked at state by state, the Queensland market's looking pretty good. And what about WA?
Well, WA is still sort of lagging, as is South Australia. And I think one of the things we've sort of identified in the survey is that perhaps the uncertainty around China-US trade wars, what that might mean for Chinese economic growth, maybe that is weighing on recruitment sentiment in the mining industry. At least that would seem to make some sense. And that's certainly coming up in the data. But as you say, you know, Queensland is certainly bouncing back quite substantially. We're seeing some good numbers in Tasmania. Victoria also continuing to show some strength. Bit of a pullback in New South Wales, but nothing terribly drastic there. But I think the main thing is we are seeing quite significant variation across the states.